Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
Good to be back here again with you.
Yeah, it's
awesome. On Sunday evening.
I love being here on Sunday evenings.
Me too.
Where would I rather be? Oh, well, maybe in Israel.
Israel?
Yeah. Once I did a show from Israel, didn't I? No. Didn't I? No. I called in once. Oh, no, that wasn't to the show. That was at One of Messiah.
That was One of Messiah. You called into from Israel,
Yeah.
We put you on speakerphone and tried to get you to Skype in.
It was 1:30 in the morning there, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was. The people appreciated you calling in at 1:30 in the morning. They really did.
Yeah, that was fun. Anyway, so here we are, Sunday evening, talking about the Word. And we've done a series of show from Galatians and about the fruits of the Spirit. And last week we were talking about how the coming of Messiah was what we were preparing for, and that was the key to the outpouring of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and to have new life and a renewing of your mind and metanoia and all the things. And so now, as we are about to almost get into the Advent season, I think it's next Sunday, right? It starts
next Sunday.
Yeah. And this is a preparation time. We're of course now in the second Advent. The first Advent was really long. It went from the Garden of Eden until that night in Bethlehem. So that was kind of a long period of time.
Yeah.
We don't know how long the second Advent will be, but it's already almost 2,000 years. But one thing for sure is that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That is true.
And in his nature as the God-man, all creation is subject to him, as it says in many places in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was made by him and through him and for him. And so this is a immensely important situation, because he rules from the throne of David, sits at the right hand of the Father, and will come back, hopefully soon, to judge the living and the dead, as the early creeds say.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be appointed judge of the world.
Right.
And that's going to be quite a day.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it is.
That's going to be
quite a day of judgment.
Yeah, quite a day.
The day of the Lord.
Yeah. And as we pointed out last week, the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is all of the preparation leading up to Messiah. And all of the foretellings and the types and the shadows that lead up to this, because as the plan of salvation unfolds, God reveals it in increments, a little bit at a time. The revelation isn't all at once to one person. It comes over a period of time. And I just want to say a few words.
Is this going to be a long introduction?
Yeah, go ahead. You add something first.
No, go ahead.
I was going to go into a little bit about King David, because after all, the Messiah is the son of David, and how that kind of came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask any Jewish person who the Messiah will be, since they don't think he's been here yet, they will say the son of David, because that's really the main messianic title,
mm-hmm.
and that he will reestablish the kingdom. He'll have the kingdom of David and Solomon reestablished. He probably will be a very strong military, political type leader, and the kingdom of Israel will be set up over the Gentile kingdoms, and the Gentile kingdoms will say, wow, that king they have is really awesome, which is true, but they're looking at it in a lot different way than we look at it, because after all, we as Gentiles are in the kingdom of Messiah, and he is the king of our lives, and he is the king over us. And currently he's not the king over them, but he will be.
He is. And they just don't know it.
Yeah, they just don't know it. And I tell my Jewish friends, you know, he's one of you. He's not one of us, but we came to him and you guys missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we know about the background of King David, and we know how the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's house in Bethlehem, and God told him he was going to anoint a new king there. And David was the youngest one of the sons, and he was kind of the least of his brethren. He was, out taking care of the sheep, mm-hmm. and his brothers were bigger and stronger and older, and Samuel goes through each one of them, and God says, "Nah, that's not him." And Samuel says, "Oh, I think it's this guy, because look how big and strong he is and how awesome he is." And God says, "Nope, not that guy." So, do you have any other sons? Well, there's just little David who's out there in the sheep, with the sheep. So, he gets anointed by Samuel the prophet, and it says the Holy Spirit falls on him and never departs.
Yeah.
And he's
well, God points him out, says, there,
points him
there,
out.
He is.
There he is.
There he is.
Exactly.
Very important.
Exactly. And as David, as the soon to be king, is revealed that way through a prophet, just like his descendant Yeshua, Jesus, is revealed by John the Baptist, who was the prophet, who is kind of the parallel of the prophet Samuel. And David, when he does become king, and we're not going to get into all the things about King Saul and so forth, but he was originally made king only over the house of Judah. And then all the tribes of Israel come to David at Hebron and say, "We want you to be our king." And he said, they say, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh."
Mm-hmm.
And so interestingly, they say, "You're our king and you're one of us." And just like Messiah is bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh, because he comes from those people.
Mm-hmm.
The writer to the Hebrews said, you know, the chief priest, the high priest is chosen from among the people. And Jesus, Yeshua as high priest, is also chosen from among his people. And so this is kind of a prophetic, you know, continuum. And again, in that passage in 2 Samuel, it says, you know, Saul was king over us, but you were the military guy and you led us into victories, and you shall shepherd. And God says, "You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel." And interestingly, David was 30 years old when he was made king over all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jesus was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. There's not a lot of information in the scripture about what he was doing before that, other than we know he was a carpenter and we know he was living in Nazareth.
Yeah.
And the only real story we have of him, as a boy is when he's 12.
In the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of information, but David is also 30 when he becomes king over all of Israel. And God says, "You're going to shepherd my people Israel." So he's from the people, and his kingdom is over those people, and his throne is set up over those people. And he's a parallel, number one, to Yeshua, Jesus. We like to use his Hebrew name because, after all, Yeshua means salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with calling him Jesus. He knows who you're talking about. But when you say Yeshua, you're telling him that he's your salvation.
Yeah.
And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there's this great thing where, in summary, because we don't want to make like four shows out of this because we want to start getting into some...
We'll be into Christmas.
Isaiah Advent stuff. Yeah, we don't want to go out till New Year's with this. But David is king, you know, and he's sitting in his palace, and he says, I got this beautiful house of cedar, and the ark of the Lord dwells in a tent. So I want to make him a palace. I want to make him a temple.
Yeah.
And God says, I never told you to build me a house. I've been perfectly happy in my tent,
mm-hmm.
and I've been wandering around in my tent ever since the people left Egypt. And then he tells them in verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So what an amazing prophecy. This is given through the prophet Nathan to King David.
Mm-hmm.
You want to build me a house? Well, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. And your house is going to last forever, because this seed that's coming from your body, in other words, this person, this man, is going to be biologically descended from you in a very real way.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come right from your body, and I, meaning God, will establish his kingdom. And he, capital H, is going to build a house for my name, capital N, capital M, capital N, and I'm going to establish his throne forever. And then he even adds, I will be his father and he shall be my son. So he's telling this to David. David's like, can't possibly understand what he's talking about. You know, maybe he's, maybe David thinks he's talking about, you know, Solomon, who was his son.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's talking about Messiah coming from the body of David, and God himself was going to be setting up this kingdom and this throne, which is basically the throne David is sitting on when he's getting this message, is going to be everlasting, and it's never going to end, and it's going to be a house for God's name.
Yeah, and that house is going to, in that house, will inhabit his people.
Exactly.
Or his people will inhabit that house.
Exactly. And that is so cool. And this is, you know, roughly 1,000 years before Jesus was born,
mm-hmm.
900 and some years.
Yeah.
And David probably gets pretty excited to hear your throne's going to be established forever. You know, your dynasty's not going to end.
Right.
And David, of course, was from the tribe of Judah,
mm-hmm.
the governing tribe, as is Jesus, Yeshua. So David gets this amazing prophecy that Messiah is going to come biologically from him. And we know through the genealogies in Matthew and Luke that both Mary and Joseph are descended from David.
Yeah. 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 So the, that's a lot of information. I gotta absorb all that. I was just thinking about when I was in the Gulf of Cancun and I couldn't speak because I was underwater.
Oof,
and yeah. I just, in the depth of my heart, said, Jesus, save me.
Oof.
And he saved me.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think we can make this a little bit too complicated, because it's really in what's in the depth of our heart that God is searching for. And if God's not in the depth of our heart, then we're not really seeking him.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He's the first and the last. He's the second person of the Trinity. He was there in the, you know, at the foundation of the world when all things were made.
Mm.
And he existed with God. He's existed with God for all time. So when he's on the cross and he has, or really when he's in the garden, he experiences separation from God because of sin,
mm-hmm.
something that he had never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
We experience separation from God from sin all the time, but we don't think anything of it because we have not seen from the foundation of the world the glory of God as Jesus did.
Yes.
We can't even fathom that.
Yes.
And so in our human condition, We look at ourselves and we complain. We go, oh, poor me. What about me, Lord? Come on, don't forget about me. Oh, God doesn't love me anymore. And the truth is, God does love you.
He doesn't even like me anymore.
Well, he does like you. He does like you, Phil. No, he does like us.
Yeah.
He does more than like us. He loves us. And so as we acknowledge Christ as King, because everyone acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether willingly or unwillingly.
Amen.
Even if you don't believe that he's Lord of Lords,
Knee will bow.
Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if you think that on the day that Jesus is returned, you're going to say, you're not my Lord and Savior. Well, he is your Lord.
That's right. You're going to bow and you're going to confess.
You're going to confess.
Even if you're on your way to hell, you're going to bow and you're going to confess first.
He may in fact say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you, which is not the response we want to hear. The response we do want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You know, so the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come back, and there's a lot of talk about how he's going to come back, and but when he comes back, we need to be about what he's given us to do. We need to be about the business of building the kingdom. Jesus told many parables, to many stories about his return, his coming back, and what he expects. And if we don't heed those parables, then we put ourselves, I think, in a place of not being ready for his return.
Yeah.
And so, if we're tending the master's house, but we fall asleep, or we aren't really tending the master's house, and we're making a mockery of it, and he comes back, you know, woe is me. But as we're going to get into the season of Advent, I feel like we've been in Advent for 2 weeks already. You might as well start it early.
You know, when we get into the Easter season, you know, and people say to me, oh, you know, what do you do on Good Friday? I say, well, every day is Good Friday to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm always thinking about it.
Yeah. So, you know, God establishes this, that he's going to be, you know, he's the son of David. And he's going to reign from the throne of David.
Yeah.
God establishes that.
And interestingly, you know, when David, of course, wasn't allowed to build the temple that he wanted to build because he was a military man. He had blood on his hands. He was, you know, an adulterer and a murderer. And, of course, his son Solomon wasn't far behind. And he was the wisest man who ever lived. That always cracks me up. But, you know, David established the kingdom. All the enemies were defeated. You know, when Yeshua established his kingdom, we get moved out of a kingdom of sin and darkness into a kingdom of light. And he comes to defeat enemies. He comes to defeat sin and death. And as Paul says, the last enemy to be defeated is death. Well, it's a break already. I better listen to the music. Remember, check out GiveTheGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Jesus, come, all creation. hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Did you write that?
I did.
How'd you know? Oh, man, that's awesome.
I do all the music, too.
Wow.
All the instruments.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all at the same time.
Singing, too?
Yep.
Wow.
Hey, when I get into music, I mean, I'm into it. Anyway, so David defeats a lot of enemies to establish the kingdom. You know, mostly the Philistines, you know, those pesky Philistines are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had some in my neighborhood lived there for a while.
To get rid of them?
Yeah, I had to.
A slingshot?
I had to. Because, I mean, these guys were everywhere.
Yeah.
And the last thing you need in your neighborhood is Philistines. So, you know, so the Israelites under David had this constant problem of being attacked by Philistines and some others. Just like we're always under attack by sin. We're always under attack by the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant attack.
Yeah.
And just like he defeated the Philistines, who were a physical enemy,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus Yeshua, as the head of our kingdom, defeats sin and darkness, defeats the death, as I said before the break, which is the last enemy to be defeated. And David, after he was installed as king over all Israel, and after God told him he was going to expand his house and everything, David gave thanks to God for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should give thanks continually that we have Messiah that came to save us from our enemies, to establish his kingdom, and, of course, more importantly, to bring us salvation.
Exactly.
Because without Messiah, we would be in a horrible shape. And not to mention that as Gentiles, we would have no way to ever make any kind of atonement for sin. So we get saved from the power of darkness. And, you know, 1 Peter 2:9 says we're called out of darkness into yep. this wondrous light.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul in Ephesians 5:8 says, now we walk as children of the light. And this kingdom, as you were saying, I can't remember if it was last week, I think last week, that we're adopted sons and daughters. So we go from, like, you know, stumbling around in the dark and just being attacked by any number of horrible sins and stuff to being co-heirs with Christ to the kingdom right. as adopted sons and daughters.
Right.
With legal right to the kingdom because he's the true son, we're the adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
And we're co-heirs.
Yeah.
And so if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will.
It's the good news of the gospel.
It's pretty good news.
The, you know, being a co-heir has, you know, if you're a co-heir, then you have responsibilities.
Hmm.
You can't continue to act like you used to act. You can't continue to do some of the things you used to do.
Is this going to involve pruning?
No.
Oh, phew.
No.
Oh,
no. Just a quick,
like, a quick clip.
Just a quick clip. Yeah, it won't hurt. It's like when you go to the doctor. Oh, this isn't going to
hurt a bit.
Not going to hurt a bit.
It won't hurt me at all.
It's not going to hurt me at all. You it might, but not me. So the pruning. Yeah, we should. Do you want to talk about pruning?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, we won't talk about pruning. What about molding?
Let's do another show just on pruning.
What about molding?
Yeah, molding's good.
Molding? Okay.
I like molding.
Because sometimes, okay, like, let's talk about molding. See, because you can put this clay on this plate mm-hmm. and it spins. Mm-hmm. It's kind of lumpy. Mm-hmm. You put some water on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it spins, you kind of smooth out the lumps.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So if we were pruning the clay, then it would probably break it or just like separate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So maybe the molding is more suitable for you.
Yeah.
You like
yeah,
that better?
I like that better.
Well, but that's what God does with us. He molds us. He takes our lumpiness, if you will. And he wants to smooth out those rough spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to make us into that fine piece of pottery because he's the master potter.
Yes.
You know, he's the potter, we're the clay, as it says in, you know, as it references in scripture. But so he establishes the throne of David and says that the Messiah, his son, is going to reign from that throne
mm-hmm.
for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Age upon age.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came and died for our sins. He took our place. And whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, as Peter points out in Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole household of Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cornelius' household, I should say. They're asking him, what happened here?
Get a Gentile home group.
Yeah. So these Gentiles, Peter, they invited you to their home group? Yeah, I was talking. And you know, I was right in the middle of my presentation. God didn't even wait until I was done. Boom, Holy Spirit yeah. fell upon them. And he tells them, it happened in the same measure just as it did at Pentecost. Yeah. He said, God shows no partiality.
Yeah.
No partiality. So, as we look at the season of Advent and we talk about Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he came not just for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, mm-hmm. but he also says, I have another flock and another yeah. fold. Yeah. There's going to be one fold and one shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say there's going to be two folds and one shepherd.
Right.
He doesn't say there's going to be three folds and one shepherd.
Right.
One fold, one shepherd.
Right.
If your congregation is preaching anything else but that.
Yes. And that's exactly
you
right.
You need to ask some questions.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave nor free. And that's right. He's king over all. And this is the difference between the physical king David was king over Israel.
Yeah.
But the son of David, Messiah, is king over everything.
Yeah.
All the nations, including us, all the Gentiles, including us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Paul says, in Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So when you saw little baby Jesus in the crib, you saw the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
You know, Moses couldn't look at the glory. When Isaiah saw the glory, he came apart at the seams.
Yeah.
But when you saw little baby Jesus and then adult Jesus, you were seeing the fullness of the Godhead.
And you can look at him.
And you can look at him. You were seeing the glory that Moses couldn't see. And, you know, Paul points out that by him, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. You know, mm-hmm. this gets carried over into the Nicene Creed. Thrones, right. dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. So as king, he's king over all of this. He's king over everything.
Yeah.
And he's, if you don't give him the allegiance that he deserves, then you're an enemy of the king.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, as you were saying, if the worst thing you want to hear is, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Because when people see him, and again, you know, I think I mentioned before, I was very shocked to hear a person one day thought that you could repent after you died, so that when you came face to face with Jesus, you could say, oh, I guess you are real. I'm really sorry for what I did. And that's not going to fly.
That's not contrition.
No. But he's king over all of this. And then in that same passage in Colossians, he says, he's the head of the body of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So as king, he's king over everything. Everything subsists in him, which he always says, also says in Colossians, I think, I can't remember what verse it's in. But anyway, you know, everything subsists in him. In other words, he holds everything together.
Right.
There's not something that happens somewhere and he says, oh, wait a minute. What happened over there with that supernova? I didn't see that coming.
That caught me by surprise.
That got me totally by surprise. Yeah. I guess that's the, you know, whatever astrophysical thing just happened. I wasn't aware of it. I mean,
that's not going to happen.
Everything, including every molecule that's in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things subsist in him. So literally when you say you can't take your next breath without him, it's literally true
because
everything subsists. And he's king over his body, the church, the kingdom, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, however he likes to say it.
Mm-hmm.
He's king over all of that. So David was kind of the prototype.
Yeah.
And David had a lot of human failings, but God called him a man after his own heart. Jesus had no human failings.
Yeah.
And so he's king over everything because everything was created for him. And Paul says, before anything was created, he had dominion over everything anyway.
Yeah.
So he's the creator. He's the producer of everything, so to speak.
Yep.
Everything's made through him and for him and by him. And it's for his glory.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the whole creation's held together by his power. And so therefore, he has the right to rule how he wants to rule.
Yeah. God establishes his law through Moses so that the people are in a right relationship with him. If they kept the law, they would be in a right relationship with God. They would have fellowship with God.
Yes.
No different than, other than they have a few more than Adam and Eve. No different than Adam and Eve, God telling Adam and Eve, the whole garden is yours, but that tree in the middle of it, the tree of knowledge, you can't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even look at it lest you die.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you tell somebody they can't do something?
They go do it.
They go and do it. Because why? Pride.
When you tell a little kid, whatever you do, don't open that door. They just hang around there until they open.
They hang, they open the door. Human nature.
Yep.
So, as Christ is he's King and Lord and Savior, but he's also our brother.
Yes.
He's the great high priest. And he identifies with us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be there for everything that we do.
Yes.
He wants us to call out to him and ask him for help when we need help. Mm-hmm. Even when we don't need help. You know, a lot of times people use God as this, you know, cosmic fire extinguisher. I got a problem, Lord. Oh my gosh, it's too big for me to handle. Can you put it out?
Yeah.
And then once the fire is out, okay. Oh man, gosh, glad that's over. Okay, well, let me go back to my regular routine.
Yeah.
And they never draw nearer to the Lord. Some people don't see how the Holy Spirit moves and operates when you're having a conversation about something and you say something that lines up with something that somebody else has told them, and then somebody else has told them, and they just dismiss it as chance.
Yeah.
Or like they don't recognize that that's how God talks to us sometimes. Granted, you need to pray about it, but the oneness that Jesus desires in us, I think we really, as humans, as mankind, have a hard time with that because we want to be fiercely independent.
Of course, yeah.
It's in our culture. It's deeply ingrained in our culture. And go to any church, we bring the culture into the church more so than we bring, God bless you.
Thank you.
More so, we were hoping that you wouldn't hear that. But that's okay. More so than, we bring the culture of the world into the church more so than we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world.
Boy, that's absolutely true. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not awesome, but it's a powerful statement.
Well, we do.
Yes.
Because we operate in the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we get comfortable in the ways of the world.
Yes.
And then we think, oh, yeah, well, I do that out there. I'll just do that in the church.
No
big deal. That's not how God operates. And many times we really make things worse in the church because we're operating in a carnal nature and not through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we chitter chatter about all these things and we don't pray about things. We put God's word up for discussion as if it's debatable.
Yes.
It's absolute truth.
Yeah.
But in many people's minds, it's, well, you know, I don't know. It's almost like, you know, we're the Greeks that Paul was talking to. You know, we'd like to hear more about this resurrection thing at a later time.
Yeah, we'll get back to you.
And we still do that in the church today. And all the evidence and all the proof that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose from the dead, but we're still slow and stubborn and hard of heart
exactly
to believe. Just like when Jesus said to the two guys on the road to Emmaus, why are you so foolish and so slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke about the Messiah?
Exactly. And that's so important. I mean, that's the key. Because what he's telling those guys is, if you knew Moses and the prophets, you would understand what just happened.
Yeah.
You know, and then it says, when he does that awesome Bible study, it says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained it all to them.
Yeah.
And then when they get to the upper room later that night, it says, starting with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he explained all that to them.
Yeah.
It's like, how come you guys aren't getting this?
Yeah. And none of it's jotted down.
Hear these readings every Saturday in the synagogue, or did you guys just go for the donuts afterwards? You're supposed to be learning something.
Bagels afterwards.
You're supposed to be learning something from these readings.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be impacting you, but now we treat the kingdom as a democracy, not a kingdom.
Yeah.
But we'll decide, you know, we'll see what the polls say about this.
Mm-hmm. This is not the beginning of the show.
No,
this is the actual song for the break.
And boy, we're in the days of Elijah. Remember, check out GiveToGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills, salvation of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white in the world. Laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, in the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Is this really the first segment?
No.
Oh, no, it's
we
the
really
first
are
segment.
In the days of Elijah.
We are.
But there's some, the Lord. You know, we talk about how the Old Testament points to Messiah. Looking through, I got to read the book of Proverbs very often. Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon actually wrote a lot for having 300 wives and 700 mistresses. I don't know how he had time to write, but he actually wrote quite a bit. And there's a couple of awesome passages, but well, I know we're down to sort of the end now. But in I just want to read a little passage from Proverbs chapter 8, starting at 23. Now, this is Solomon writing this. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no mountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily in his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. So how cool is that?
Wow.
Jesus as son, you know, Jesus is eternal, and he's co-eternal with the Father, with the same majesty and the same glory and the same degree of God, of course, all three persons of the Trinity are. But here, Solomon is writing, but it's actually Jesus who's talking, saying how he's the Son, and he got to watch the Father, like, do all this cool stuff, and I was right beside him, and I was his master craftsman, and my delight was with the sons of men.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just so cool. And, you know, we have to point out that the within the Godhead, the persons within the Godhead, it's not a matter of, well, the Father's more powerful than the Son, or the Son is not as powerful as the Spirit, or the Father's more powerful. It's a degree of function and position. It's not a degree of power and majesty. They're co-equal and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the plan of salvation, the second person becomes the Son. So, you know, Paul says, before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain. The plan of salvation was already made. So this is Jesus talking through Solomon. Solomon has no possible way to know what he's even writing.
Yeah.
He's writing about a little boy playing while his father's making stuff. And this is like so awesome that, he shows that he's going to be the Son, and he's going to come because of the love for the sons of men.
Yeah.
And daughters of men.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, they're co-equal.
Yes.
They work together. And really, in the church, we're co-workers in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really collaborate as co-workers in the vineyard a lot of times.
Yeah, we're usually bickering with each other.
We're worried about our prestige and our place of, and where our place is at. Where our place of recognition is at. What am I going to get for this? And you know, you have to think about when Jesus says, well, you've received your reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times God asks us to do stuff. And if I seek a reward here on earth from it, then I've got my reward.
You already got through it. Yeah.
But if, you know, so do I do things simply because God's asking me and because I love him and I don't worry about it. I don't count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I selfish, stingy, and I go, man, this is really taking a toll on me. I gotta really, I'm doing all this. I'm doing all that. I've given up so much for the Lord. I heard somebody say one time that was in ministry, I've given up so much for the Lord. And I thought, oh my gosh, seriously? Like Jesus didn't give up anything for you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really somebody who's burnt out spiritually.
Yeah.
Who needs to really re-seek the Lord and go,
yes.
What are you calling
me to?
You need
to take a break.
I remember when I went on a pilgrimage and I was praying and I was asking God, I'm like, God, what do you desire of me? And I was asking more in terms of, what do you want me to do? What do you desire of me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? And I prayed for a long time and I didn't hear anything, and I was leaving and I heard this voice that said, all of you, Stephen, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that long ago that what the Lord was really asking me was, it's not so much of what I'm asking you to do, it's what I'm asking you to give of yourself to me in the terms of, am I really willing to give him all of my heart? Am I really willing to give him all of my life that he ransomed on the cross?
Yes.
Not about building things and doing things, but it was about, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I really missed that.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about, I got to go and do something for him.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of like David saying, I want to go and build a temple. I want to mm-hmm. build a, you know, a house for you. You're not mm-hmm. going to build me a house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's not interested in all that. He's interested in our yes.
Yeah. He said, I can live in the tent as long as you do what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that hits the nail on the head because this is the, you know, this is the center of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he just wants us like Mary, you know, just sat at his feet to listen to what he was saying.
Yeah.
While Martha was running around, you know, making the snacks for home group yeah. and stuff and cooking yeah. the meal.
He says Mary shows Mary's
doing the
part.
Better thing.
Yeah.
Because in, you know, in Colossians chapter 1, 19 and 20, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can make peace with the Father, the only way you can be reconciled with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he's king.
'Tis true.
And it's, you know, we can't be thinking about what we're going to do all the time. Sometimes, as you just said, you have to sit, pray, think, meditate on him, listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we pray so fast we don't give him a chance to get a word in edgewise.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're busy thinking about what we have to do next. We squeeze in a prayer. Okay, I got to get to the next thing, Lord. I'll be back when I can get back to you. And, you know, if you did that to your, to one of your best friends, they'd be like, what is wrong with you?
Wow, I can't believe it's the end of the show.
It is.
It's almost Advent yet.
It will be Advent pretty soon.
Oof. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as we wait for the second coming of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you would prepare your heart and prepare a home that he may dwell with you and you with him, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, for all of eternity. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.